Let me come back for just a little bit about Reverend Allen.
Yes.
He was Dr. Allen, isn't he?
Yes, Dr. Charles L. Allen.
Tell us about him and his preaching style and the impact he may have had on your ministry.
He had a great impact on me. I was eager to go there, frightened because I knew almost no one was coming to the downtown Sunday night service. Huge crowds in the morning, almost nobody at night. Fewer than 100 they were averaging. So that scared me, but I thought to get to work with a guy like Dr. Charles Allen would have to be wonderful. And for 7 years, I sat right behind him. I was his liturgist. I heard him preach at 8:30 and 11 for 7 years. So I watched. I have a very different style from his in some ways. He was a full manuscript preacher. Some people say, oh, I had him come to my church and he didn't use a note. And I say, well, those were the four sermons he could do if you woke him at 3 a.m. I sat right behind him for 7 years. I'm telling you, he used a full manuscript. And he did. He was a very effective full manuscript preacher. I use no notes myself. I was pushed by a couple of professors to learn how to do preaching with no notes. Also, every Monday morning, I go back to commentaries. I mean, I'm a lectionary preacher, so I very closely tie myself to the seasons of the church year. I mean, this coming Sunday is the third Sunday in Pentecost, and there's certain scriptures that are most relevant to the third Sunday in Pentecost. Dr. Allen preached topical, 10 sermons on the Ten Commandments, a dozen sermons on the Beatitudes, 8 sermons on the Lord's Prayer, that sort of thing. But also, when I start on Monday morning with a text, I go straight to commentaries of the greatest scholars I know, both Jewish and Christian. Dr. Allen, if he's going to preach on the Ten Commandments, he would go buy 5 or 6 books of sermons on the Ten Commandments and hear what Buttrick had said and what Ralph Sockman had said and what Harry Emerson Fosdick had said. Preachers, I want to hear biblical scholars when I do my sermon work. So there are some differences. He was from Georgia. He had a very heavy accent, Georgian accent, that people in Houston found hilarious. He could read the phone book and they would laugh. But he had a marvelous ability to make people laugh, and the next moment he could take them down to daubing at their eyes with their handkerchiefs. He was masterful. I could not use humor, I discovered. It didn't work for me. I didn't tell jokes well like he did. But he told me himself one time, he said, but you use pathos really well. Stick with what you do really well. Go with pathos when you have a really good story that moves people. He was wonderful to me. I could not have had anyone who would promote me more. He told me when he interviewed me, with the bishop's permission, he was told he could take Gail and me out to dinner, and he and his wife did. And he said, I cannot hit the ball for you, but I can put you up to bat. When he would get invitations, and he was getting more than he could fulfill, he would say to a Kiwanis Club or the Lions Club or the Rotary Club or the PTA banquet, how about my man Biggs? I was going day and night. I mean, it was tough on Gail because here we had by this time 3 little children, and I was going day and night much of the time. But I learned. I mean, I learned from all those experiences. He had 2 sons and a daughter, but none of them had felt called to be a minister. And I think he really saw me as his preacher son. When he died at 92, his children asked that I come back, that I was his preacher's son, and that they wanted me to preach at his funeral. He was great to me. I never could repay what Charles Allen did for me.
I'm going to spin off then, since you talked about his style and your style of speaking, and talk about that a little bit. You're a storyteller.
Yes.
You just tell it. We have those who get in the pulpit and they're preachers. They're full of oratory. Did you struggle thinking that a preacher needed to be bombastic, have that kind of style? You just stand there and you're just telling it. Am I making myself clear here?
Yes. I had several things factored in there. One was when I was driving into Shreveport to college every day from my little parsonage, knowing I had another Sunday looming, I would ask myself, now what did I listen to all those years I was going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? What did I listen to? And I remember that if the preacher droned on and on about faith and hope and love, I was wondering what mom had left cooking in the oven that was going to be ready for lunch when we all got home. But if the preacher suddenly said, you know, last Tuesday, or I read a book last month, or I saw a movie the other day. I was back. So I decided long ago, make a point and give the clearest meaning that you believe that has in Scripture, and then illustrate. Point, illustrate. Because of our television here, I have about 25 minutes to preach. I've discovered I can do 4 points, 4 illustrations in 25 minutes. So that's what I'm looking for. When I start with a new text on Monday morning, I'm looking for the 4 most important things I find. It just works for me. 4, 4, 4. I can remember that. I had a professor at Centenary, a woman named Dr. Ruth Alexander, who was terrific. She taught speech and drama. She took a special interest in me and said, if you're going to be a preacher, I want you to learn to look people in the eye. If you're looking them in the eye, you can tell if they're bored or confused or interested, whatever. And she said, you look like you're talking to the whole audience, but you aren't. Even in a new group, you will discover in minutes you have a half dozen what she calls sympathetic faces. There are some people who frown when they're really concentrating. There are others who smile, who have a warm face, she called it. Move to 6 different people and talk to them. Keep talking to those 5 or 6. Then in seminary, I had a professor at SMU, Dr. Bill McElvaney, who ended up being president of St. Paul's Seminary in Kansas City. McElvaney was teaching advanced homiletics, it was called. It was a small class who wanted more work in preaching. And he said, every student in this class, this semester you will all preach 1 sermon with a full manuscript. You will preach 1 sermon with no more than 3 3-by-5 cards. And you will preach 1 sermon with nothing in front of you but your Bible. When I finished my 3rd one near the end of the semester, he called each one of us in separately. And he said, well, your one without notes was by far your best. And I said, well, that's because I spent 3 times as much time on it. He said, I don't care. I don't care what it costs you. I'm telling you, it's your style. Are you willing to pay the price to learn to do that or not? And I said, I don't know. He said, all right, I've written down your grade, so this has nothing to do with your grade. But I'm going to ask you to promise me you will give this a try for 6 months. 6 months, and then if you don't like it, go back to whatever style you want. I made the promise, because I'd already heard my bishop say that he was going to send me to be an associate at this suburban church that didn't have a night service. So I figured I'm pretty safe. You know, I may get to preach once or twice in the next 6 months. That'll be it. Well, I got there, and the senior minister said, I'm leaving on vacation next week. You'll have the next 3 Sundays. And there were more people in that church than in my high school, probably when I was student council president. So the first Sunday morning, I've promised McElvaney I'm going to preach without notes. I'm remembering everything Dr. Ruth Alexander told me. I'm in the men's room, down on my knees, throwing up. And the custodian came in. He said, Mr. Biggs, what are we going to do? And I said, I've been here before. I'll be all right. And I washed my face and went in and preached. But I kept doing it until I learned how to do it without throwing up. I learned how to do it. Charles Allen wrote his whole sermon in one day. He just said, you're not going to see me Thursdays because I'm going to hole up in this study at my house and I'm just going to do sermon.